Hello friends, the next topic, periodical essay in the 18th century. Introduction. The periodical essay and the novel are the two important gifts of our excellent and indispensable 18th century to English literature. The latter was destined to have a long and variegated career over the centuries, but the former was fated to be born with the 18th century and to die with it. This shows how it was a true mirror of the age. A.R. Humphrey observed in this connection, if any literary form is particular creation and particular mirror of the Augustan age in England, it is the periodical essay. Generally speaking, it is very difficult to date precisely the appearance of the new literary genre. For example, nobody can say with perfect certainty as to when the first novel and the first comedy of the first short story came to be written in England and elsewhere. We often talk of father in literature. For instance, Fielding is called the father of English novel, Chaucer the father of English poetry, and so forth. But that is done more often than not in a loose and very unprecise sense. This difficulty in dating a genre, however, does not arise in a few cases. That of the periodical essay included. The periodical essay was literally invented by the Steele on April 12, 1709, the day of the launched his Tatler. Before the Tatler, there had been periodicals and there had been essays, but there had even no periodical essay. The example of the Tatler was followed by a large number of writers of the 18th century till its very end. Even with the change of sensibility, the periodical essay disappeared along with numerous other accompaniment of the age. Throughout the century, there was a deluge of periodical essay. The periodical essay remained the most popular, if not the dominant, literary form. Men as different as Pope, Swift, Dr. Johnson, and Goldsmith found the periodical essay an eligible medium. As a matter of fact, it was unlike the novel, for example, the only literary form which was the patronized without exception by all the major writers of the century. It is hard to name a single first-rate writer of century who did not write something for a periodical paper. Mr. Jane H. Jacks says in another comma, from the day of Queen Anne, who had the Spectator taken in with her breakfast, to the time of French Revolution and even beyond, periodical essay on the line led down to Steele and Addison flooded the country and met the eye in every bookseller's shop and the coffee houses. Before tracing the history of the periodical essay in the 18th century and assigning cause for its phenomenal popularity, let us consider what exactly a periodical essay is. What is a periodical essay? What is called the periodical essay was first of all given by Steele as the Tatler. Nothing of this type had before him been attempted in England or even elsewhere. However, to attempt a definition of the periodical essay is neither easy nor helpful. George Serburn, in A Literary History of England, edited by Albert C. Vaux, our in his connection in noted comma, rigorous definition of this peculiarly 18th century type of publication is not very helpful. The periodical essay has been adeptly described as dealing with moral and manner, but it might in fact deal with anything that pleased its author. It covers usually not more than the two sides in two columns of a folio half sheet. Normally it was shorter than that. It might be published independent of other material, as was the Spectator expect the advertising, or it might be the leading article in the newspaper. Reason for the popularity. The periodical essay found the spectacular response in the 18th century on account of the various reasons. Fundamentally, this new genre was the perfect harmony with the spirit of the age. It sensitively combined the taste of the different classes of the reader with the result that the appeal to all, though particularly to the resurgent middle classes. In the 18th century, there was a phenomenal spurt in the literacy which expanded widely the circle of readers. They welcomed to periodical essay as it was light literature. The brevity of the periodical essay, its common sense approach, and its tendency to dilute morality and philosophy of popular consumption had paid rich dividend to a great extent. The periodical essayist assumed the office of the clergyman and taught the masses of affliction and allegiance and the refinement, though not the morality of the palm-singing kind. The periodical paper was particularly welcome as it was not a dry, high-brown and hoity-toity affair like the professional sermon. In spite of being highly instructive in nature, in most causes, the periodical essays did not speak for the clouds but communicated with the reader with an almost buttonholing familiarity. The avoidance of politics, though not by all the periodical essayists, yet by a good man or many of them, also contributed toward their popularity. Again, the periodical essayist made it a point to cater for the female taste and give due consideration for the female point of view. That won for them many female readers too. All these factors were responsible for the universal acceptance of the periodical essay in 18th century England. The history of the periodical essay, the Tatler. It was Steele's Tatler which began the indulge of the periodical essay which followed. The first issue of the Tatler appeared on April 12, 1709. At the time, Edison Steele and Bosom Friends was functioning a secretary to the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland in that country. Steele had not informed Edison of his design, but if he desired to write in secret, he was not lucky. A single month detected him, and Edison's first contribution appeared in the 26th May. Though Edison contributed to the Tatler much less than Steele, yet he soon overshadows his friends of the 271 numbers, 188 are Steele and 42 Edison, and 36 of them were written by the both jointly. The rest were penned by their others like the Tickle and the Buzzell. Steele spoke of himself as a distressed princess who calls in a powerful neighbor to his aid, and added, "I was undone by my auxiliary when I had once called him in. I could not subsist without him." The Tatler appeared thrice a week on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That is the day on which the post went to the country. As regards the aim of the paper, we may quote the word of Steele in the dedication of the first collected volume, 1710. In general purpose of this paper is to expose the false art of life, to pull off the disguises of cunning, vanity, affectation, and recommended a general simplicity in our dress, our discourse, and our behavior. All the material of Tatler was purported by Steele to be based upon discussion in the four famous coffee houses and was divided as follows. First, all account of gallantry, pleasure, and entertainment, White's chocolate houses. Second, poetry with the coffee house. Third, learning of Gracian. Fourth, foreign and domestic news, St. James Coffee House. And fifth, what else I shall on any other subject offer, my own apartment. The chief importance of the Tatler lies in its social and moral criticism, which had a tangibly salubrious effect on the times. Both Edison and Steele did good work, each in his own way. Edison was a much more refined and correct writer than Steele, whom Macaulay aptly calls a scholar among rakes and a rake among scholars. Edison's prose is, according to Dr. Johnson, a model of the middle style, and this is the famous suggestion. Whoever wishes to attain an English style, familiar but not coarse, and elegant but not ostentatious, must give his days and night to the volumes of Edison. Steele, on the contrary, was a thing of mood and moment. His writing has a look of spontaneity and human warmth which Edison lacked, comparing Steele and Edison. George Sherburne maintained Steele prose never attained the elegant ease and correctness of Edison, and yet it is probable that a tendency to warm to a subject and to write intimately and personally as the reader's friend contributed much to the success of the paper. Edison's best essays are the result of his slightly chilly insight into the typical mental attitude of his day. Later critics are apt to place Steele higher than Edison. Thus, Leigh Hunt, for instance, affirmed that he prefers Steele with all his faults to Edison with all his issues. The Spectator. Without any warning to his readers, Steele suddenly wound up at the Tatler on January 1711, but 2 months later, on March 1711, the Spectator began its memorable career of 555 number up to the December 6, 1712. Whereas the Tatler had appeared only three times a week, the Spectator appeared daily, excepting Sunday. The new paper became tremendously popular among English men and women belonging to all walk of life. The best of all the periodical essay, it is an important human document concerning the moral and the manner, thought and ideas of the English society of the age of Queen Anne. Edison fame chiefly rests of the Spectator paper, as A.R. Humphrey puts it in noted comma. Were it not for his essay, Edison's literary reputation would be insignificant into them, diluted and sweetened popular consumption went his classical and modern reading, his study of philosophy and the topic is also over. Periodical essay over.